This week on Not Another Business Show, we tackle the time management conversation. Is there a work-life balance for those of us with our own business, or is this work-life balance thing a furphy that we've been sold to help us strive for the lifestyle business that so many of us signed up for? Are there areas in our business where we waste time, or perhaps where our time could be better spent? These are the topics on the table for investigation this week.
Yeah, so work-life balance is really important. And at the end of the day, I typically advise people that you just got to prioritise a set of things which help you keep your energy levels and your match fitness up.
You're listening to Not Another Business Show, inspiring entrepreneurs to think smart, not small. Brought to you by Daunted to Done, your virtual project manager. To implement and execute your business ideas, you need Daunted to Done.
Welcome to this week's episode of Not Another Business Show. The first expert up to bat this week was Matt Dunstan from Rising Tide Ventures, talking about prioritising things in your life so you have the energy to do what needs to be done in and for your business. The whole concept of time is a pretty contentious one. The only thing that all of our experts agreed on this week's show is that time is one of our non-renewable resources. Once we spend it, we don't get it back. Doctor Who refers to it as a wibbly-wobbly thing, and it has always struck me as an interesting phenomenon that when I'm working on something I love, it's as though time is literally flying by. But for something less engaging, I would swear the minute hand is taking an hour to tick by. So let's start with the whole question of striking a work-life balance. I chatted to our expert on time management, Kate Christie, who made it clear that in her opinion, there's no such thing.
Every time I think about work-life balance, I have this visual image of a seesaw and someone standing in the middle desperately trying to maintain perfect balance. And that's not what life's about. I think that as professional working people and business owners, we have so many different elements and factors and components in our lives that it is impossible to balance everything. So I prefer to think about this in the terms of work-life integration and making sure that we integrate the many aspects of our lives in a way that works for us as an individual.
I wanted to explore this idea of work-life integration a little further. I mean, I know personally there have been times running my own business when I've found myself almost running in circles trying to stay on top of the workload, then looking back at the end of the day or the end of the week and wondering what I really had to show for all of my burning rubber. I've taken very few breaks and seem to be at my computer for hours on end with absolutely no idea where my time has gone. I chatted further to Kate about this and was almost relieved to find out that it's one of the most common conditions she finds in entrepreneurs.
We know that we're enormously busy. We're working very, very hard and we are working long hours. But if we don't know in detail what we're actually spending our time on, then we cannot know what we need to get rid of as time wasters, and we can't know what we need to do more of in terms of things that are enhancing our business. So when it comes to mapping your time, I recommend that you look at your time across a week, but most people, ironically, do not have the time to do that. So it's enough to spend some time mapping one business day and one weekend day. And what you need to do is sit down with a really detailed spreadsheet and map your time in 5 to 10 minute units so that you get a very, very good sense of what you're doing during the day.
Well, that makes sense. Although I must say, the concept of mapping my time down to 5 to 10 minute increments kind of made my stomach turn a little. But with a view to science and in the interest of taking one for the team, I recently did this to find out exactly what I am doing, when, and for how long. The actual process seemed a little clunky at the time, mapping everything out, but I stayed the course and got a clear indication of what a typical working day looked like. But now what?
Once you've mapped your time, then you need to categorise your time into four distinct categories. The categories we use are your musts, your wants, your delegates, and your rejects. Now, your musts are the things that you have to do each day. So you have to get up, you have to go to work, or you have to drop your kids at school, whatever those might be. Your wants are the things that you really want to do for yourself or for your family. Things like going for a jog, maybe going to yoga class, maybe taking time out of your day to go watch your children play sport. Your delegates are separated into two different categories, insourcing and outsourcing. So insourcing is where you identify everything that you're doing around your home that the people that you live with can be doing for themselves. And outsourcing is anything that you don't want to do around the house that you're happy to pay someone to do, such as cleaning, perhaps doing the garden, maintenance issues and so forth. And then the final category is rejects, and that's the stuff that either you can start doing a whole lot smarter or that you don't need to do at all just because it's a stupid use of your time. Once you then eliminate these things from your day, you then open up and find hours and hours of lost time.
That's really interesting. And it's exactly what I noticed when I went through the process myself. It made me wonder whether as entrepreneurs we share common areas where we are wasting our time. I checked in with Kate, and the answer, I have to admit, surprised me as she explained that a lot of what we don't want to let go of is leftover psychological stuff. The concept of getting a cleaner to do the housework, for example.
People may have been brought up to feel that they are completely responsible for cleaning their own home, and regardless of how successful that they are, they should not pay for a cleaner. There are other people who have a perception or a view that a cleaner is incredibly expensive, and they don't actually understand how cheap it can be to get a cleaner. So it's not just looking at the time and saying, okay, get rid of these things. It's actually sometimes a discussion around someone's background or their upbringing so that they understand that there's different ways and better ways that they can use their time.
I was keen to find out just how much time Kate sees people getting back by following the time styler's process.
Anyone can get a minimum of 30 hours a month back. I've worked with many, many clients and have never been in a situation where we've found them less than 30 hours. The thing is that time spent in your business, for example, is generally time well used, generally speaking. But where we find the 30 hours of time is on the home front. On the home front, you are not using your time well. And I see this time and time again, and it's commonplace with the most successful of people that they perhaps let their guard down, or they perhaps have so much motivation on the work front that when it comes to the home front, they just stick to old habits. And it's really around finding those 30 hours of lost time at home. We find it again and again, time and again. And most often, you know, people will look and say, and they will raise the eyebrows, or they'll say, oh, really, you know, you're not going to find me 30 hours. I know your clients are busy, but I'm really, really busy. I'm super busy. You're not going to find me anytime. And I love those clients because they're the ones who are just so grateful and so thrilled when we turn around and we have found them chunks and chunks of time. But it, like anything, Tracy, you've got to put the time in to find the time. So you actually have to follow the process. There's work to be done in the five-step process to allow you to get your time back. It's no silver bullet here. I'm not going to click my fingers and give you 30 hours, but if you commit and you follow the process and you do the exercises, you will get 30 hours of time back.
Finding that kind of time back in someone's life must feel almost life-changing or life-saving.
I think that for some people, there's certainly a paradigm shift which comes around particularly when they start mapping out their time. I think for other people that they come to me well aware that they're not using their time well, but they just don't know where to start in making the changes they need to make to get hours of time back. Once we've worked through the process and they start to see where their time wasters are, they start to understand what their values are around where they want to be spending their time and how they want to then grow their business or spend time with their family or spend time on themselves, that then becomes a real aha moment. The other thing is there's a number of strategies that we use when we're talking to people about this stuff, and one of them is we go through a bit of an opportunity cost scenario where people look at the way they're spending their time at home through a different lens, and that's the opportunity cost lens. And that very much results in aha moments for many, many clients.
Kate talks about following the process to gain your time back. We know one of them is time mapping, but I was keen to find out what the other steps are.
So the process for getting back 30 hours of lost time a month is governed by the SMART process, and it's an acronym. So S is for self-aware, where we work with you to make sure that you understand what your values are, what your drivers are, so that you have a good sense of where you want to be spending your time and a good sense of any areas that you're spending your time on that run contrary to your values, and obviously that will then lead to stress and guilt and unhappiness. M is for map, which involves mapping out your time in detail across a day or a week so that you have a very good understanding in quite a lot of detail as to where you're spending your time. A is for analyze, and that's where you look at your time spent through four different categories: your musts, your wants, your delegates, and your rejects. And you segment each of your time spends into one of those categories. R is for reframe, and that's where you then go back to your map and we educate you on how to insource, how to outsource, how to delegate, how to reject the time wasters from your life, so that you then go back to your map and work out the things that you're doing or the way you're spending your time, which is a waste of your time. And then T is take control. And that's where we work with you to put in place an action plan and see you through that action plan, because up until that point in time, the process is obviously a process of theory. The content is there, the education is there, but unless you actually take control and put in place an action plan and follow it, you obviously won't see the results. So we take you right through to that endpoint so that you do not only identify your lost hours, but you harness them and use them.
I chatted to Kate a little more about winning time back at home, but I wanted to turn our attention back to business. I'm a big fan of a to-do list. For me, there's some kind of internal high-five moment I give myself when I get to cross an action off my list. But Kate goes one step further and says we should be putting a time to the task on our list. Now, I was intrigued to find out why.
The main reason for putting a realistic time allocation against a task is so that you're not setting yourself up for failure to begin with. If you've got a to-do list which has the five items on it that you feel are key for getting done that day, and yet each of those items realistically is going to take you 3 to 4 hours, then you're not going to get through your to-do list. So you set yourself up for failure. The idea of allocating time to something is also so that you're managing your time well. You're measuring how long a particular task is taking you, and are you able to get faster or better at doing that? In terms of the allocation of the priority, I think it's horses for courses. I would always encourage you to cross off things on your to-do list because it just looks terrific with big crosses through it. The other thing I would do with the to-do list, and by allocating time, this works very well, is have brackets of time within the day where you do check your emails or you do check Facebook or whatever it is you want to do. So rather than popping in and out of your emails every 10 minutes and having them drive you, you allocate perhaps 5 to 10 minutes every 2 or 3 hours to check your emails so that you are actually getting business strategy and growth and planning into play and you're not being driven by the day-to-day minutiae.
Well, that was all very enlightening. And wherever I can find ways to streamline things in my business, well, I'm all for that. I wanted to turn now to the other areas of our business that we potentially use as a time waster. I called back on Matt Dunstan from Rising Tide Ventures and was surprised to hear him say that a lot of small business owners are using admin or marketing style tasks in their business as a way to avoid taking necessary growth steps. Now, while initially we may not think of this as a time issue, what it is effectively doing is allowing us to procrastinate to avoid doing the things that we aren't comfortable with.
By and large, people are focusing on internal facing things, and really it's a bit of a crutch. People do that because maybe their confidence isn't where it should be. The single biggest thing that will make a difference to their business is crafting a bit of a plan for getting in front of the right people. There's a lot being written at the moment about spending your time with the right people. You will become and your business will become a reflection of the people you spend time with. And the same is true when we're growing our business. If you connect with 10 new people every week, well, that's going to make a difference. And whether you put a marketing campaign behind that or not, I would probably recommend a little light marketing campaign behind that is a really good way to accelerate it. But just getting your head into the zone of, well, who else can I contact or connect with that's new? And emphasizing the quality of the relationship that you're building rather than trying to flog something to everybody.
I don't know about you, but I found that a little close to home. I know when I was starting my first business, for some reason I was really quite anxious about putting myself out there, so I would find a lot of reasons to update my website or work on a marketing campaign, when I knew deep down the best use of my time was, to use a political term, get out there on the huskings. You know, shaking hands and kissing babies. So procrastination and internal facing work can be forms of time wasting in your business. I really liked the concept of getting out in front of the right people, though. Perhaps finding a mentor or a group of people that you can bounce your ideas off. Often as entrepreneurs, we set up, as I have, an office within our home, and without realizing it, we can become a bit of a recluse. And we find ourselves spending a lot of time working. We pick up the laptop and work in front of the TV of a night. We move the laptop to the dining room to work while we spend time with the family. And there are so many ways working from home can encroach on our overall time if we allow it to do so.
A lot of people work from home, and I think that's a good thing. I quite enjoy working from home. What I find works best, though, for most people is having a blend of places they can go to work, even if they do like working from home. And that's where I think the opportunity of co-working has come about. Co-working is kind of an avenue for people to pick up their laptop or whatever they're doing and go and just work alongside other people. There's a little bit of professional social interaction there. There's that outlet that says I'm no longer looking at my four walls. And hopefully you actually develop a bit of a network there of people who can help advise what you're doing, or even just having people to bounce ideas off makes a big difference.
So we are misusing our time by not having a map for where we need to spend it and using it as a procrastination tool, stopping us from getting out in front of potential clients or partners. I wanted to dig a little deeper though. Another of our experts, Carl Bischoff, specializes in marketing automation, or as he put it to me,
leverage the power of automation to save time, be more efficient, grow sales, and get a life. Too many business owners work too long, and we deliver marketing strategies that will boost your bottom line and leave you happy and content that your business is running whilst you sleep.
I was keen to know what this mythical creature, marketing automation, is, and how is it going to give me back time?
Marketing automation is, it covers a lot of ground, really, because there's so many things you can do with it. But you can automate the delivery of products. You can automate sales and lead scoring. So many ways and many things you can do with marketing automation.
So basically, I can have a process in place that every time someone signs up for my newsletter an automated email goes out. Or anytime someone becomes a client, a series of emails can be sent to welcome them and let them know how they can find their way around the site, what to expect, etc. That means I don't have to personally respond to each and every person individually. Yeah, I can see how that could save a whole lot of time once it's set up. But when is the best time for me to invest time and money in getting this automation set up? In Carl's opinion, it's right from the start.
Basically, everybody needs marketing automation right from the get-go. The trick is to start simply. So, look, you need an autoresponder sequence if someone contacts you. It's kind of a must-do. So all businesses, it doesn't matter where they're at, need to be in this space from the get-go. And the trick is just to start simply and do the basic sorts of things. So I'd probably have half a dozen key automations in place right from the beginning. You can then go on and expand into more advanced tools like Infusionsoft or HubSpot, Marketo, you know, all these other products that are out there as you grow. But everyone needs marketing automation, and I think it's really just essential in business now. Full stop.
There was one last question I had from Carl on marketing automation before we chalk that one up to a great idea. And that is, given we're on the subject of time this week, how long does this automation take to really set up? I mean, for most of us, the thought of learning yet another skill and the associated time that goes along with that can be pretty daunting.
You can get up to speed a lot quicker than you think, and the trick is just to be simple. Just do the basics. Make sure you've got one autoresponder when someone signs up, the cart abandonment or sequence. Make sure you've got two follow-up emails. You know, I mean, if we were going to set up say half a dozen, you could do that in 2 mornings, really.
If marketing automation can put time back in our pockets, it made me wonder if having processes in place for other things in our business was going to do the same thing. It was time to check in with our systems and processes expert, Bronwyn Reed from Mining for Business.
If you've got the business systems working, you won't be spending all your time controlling the out of controlness, and you'll be able to get on and do that development work, the interesting work that you like to do as a business owner. So think of your systems as having your own personally vetted team of experts behind your back at all times.
I had to ask then, to get that time back into our business, how do we start to put processes in place? I mean, where do you even start?
Yes, this is always a bit of the eating the elephant one bit at a time, getting businesses systemized. The best place to start is to think about your entire business, first of all, in areas. Do we have a marketing department? Do we have an administration and finance? Do we have operations, whatever it is? Get that part in your head first. Then for a couple of weeks, wander around with either a sticky note pad or a notebook and actually note down what you do. Actually write it down, physically write it down. Over time, what you'll be able to do is to note down the different processes that you have in your business. I use as an excellent example the process of creating an invoice in the finance and administration system. That's a process. That process then gets broken down into tasks. So the tasks would be import the time data from the time data system or whatever. And then each of those tasks is documented. Sticky notes are fabulous. Sticky notes and whiteboards are fabulous. And getting the whole team involved, writing notes on sticky notes, and bit by bit, it won't be done immediately and it doesn't have to be done immediately. But breaking everything down to the process and then the task and then documenting the task. Checklists are also fabulous to start with. Just take a wander around your business with a notebook and note down everything that could be reduced to a checklist. For instance, a new client query comes in. Do you just create a checklist that the person taking the query must tick off? Does their name have to be entered in the CRM? Does a client file have to be opened? A simple checklist. And you'll be surprised at just how many things in your business can be reduced to a simple checklist.
Oh, that's great advice. Sticky notes are your best mate. So we've covered mapping our time, getting a sense of what we can outsource or delegate and what is important to us. We've covered getting out of the office and into a co-working space to make use of your time by interacting with other professional people. And we've moved on to the power of automation can bring to our business in freeing up our time. And we know now that having systems and processes in place will also give us back some time. Are there any other time wasters or time savers that we need to check on? Australia's number one small business author had this final thought to add into the mix.
I've got to think better. I've got to think cleaner. I've got to think bigger. I've got to think differently. And if you're just kind of looking at the same stuff all the time and you're not challenging your brain, you know, if you're mixing with the wrong kind of people, if you're reading the wrong kind of stuff, if all you're doing is watching YouTube clips about people getting killed, you know, or just dumb stuff, then, you know, you don't grow, you don't develop yourself or your business. So I'm not trying to be sanctimonious there in any shape or form. I'm just trying to say that I think that, you know, you need to be growing as a person and developing skills and intellect and all that kind of stuff as your business is growing. And interestingly enough, the more both grow, the more successful you'll be.
Ah, good places to put your time. I have a little ritual each morning which sees me spending the first hour of every day with my morning latte scrolling through the various sites related to my industry. So I spend time at entrepreneur.com, Inc., Flying Solo, looking at what's being posted on LinkedIn Pulse, and I check out Springwise. I generally get a feel for what's being talked about in the entrepreneurial space. Of an evening, I spend my last hour before going to sleep reading a book, usually something in the personal development or business arena. I was also advised some years ago that you are the sum of the five people that you associate with. Since learning that, I've become far more selective with whom I choose to associate with. These days, my close circle are all fellow business owners, entrepreneurs, who tell it like it is. I also belong to weekly and monthly accountability groups for which I have to be prepared to do what I say I'm going to do or be held to account. These groups also give me a great confidential sounding board for new ideas and to help other like-minded entrepreneurs stay focused on their tasks at hand. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode. I hope you took away a few pearls of wisdom from our experts and found the show a good use of your valuable time. Don't forget to download this week's checklist, The 5 Keys to Using Time in Your Business. A big thanks to this week's experts, Kate Christie from Time Stylers, Matt Dunstan from Rising Tide Ventures, Carl Bischoff from Business Fluid, Bronwyn Reid from Mining for Business, and Australia's number one small business author and all-round Mr. Nice Guy, Andrew Griffith. Most especially, though, thank you, the listener. You can find out more about our experts by visiting them on our Meet the Experts page on the Daunted to Done website. Until next week, make good use of your time, and remember, just because you're in small business doesn't mean you can't have a smart business.
Can't help but get excited by it. One of the greatest things I saw on Springwise, I just got to share this with you and the listeners, was an example in a Mexican park. And I had this real problem in this park that people are taking their dogs for a walk and they're pooping all over the place. And it's made the park quite hazardous because no one was picking it up. And I got a lot of Great Danes in Mexico. They're not just Chihuahuas, I might add. The other problem, though, was people going, well, there's no Wi-Fi in this particular area. So people love to go to parks in Mexico and hang out. Well, they can't because of the poop, and there's no Wi-Fi. So some guy came up with this wonderful idea about a device which provided free Wi-Fi, but only if poop was put into it. So they converted the amount of dog poop into amount of time for Wi-Fi in various parts of this park. Now, that sounds ridiculous. Go online, check it out. It's real. Now, that's solving two problems. Now, the problem is there isn't enough in the park.